Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. About two millennia ago, the world was experiencing this span of intentional peace. For the most part, it was due to this movement that was called the Pax Romana, or the Peace of Rome. And the Peace of Rome was this 200-year period in history from about 27 BC to about 180 in the current era. And it was a time when people were intentional about keeping peace. So Rome sought to have stability with other nations. It was during this span of peace that Jesus was born in a Roman principate, which is why throughout the gospel you'll get different types of Roman leaders, people like Pontius Pilate, but you'll also get more regional names, people like Herod or the high priest elites. This was a miracle because for several centuries there was no peace. There was always a war being fought by someone somewhere as Rome was expanding. The wars were frequent, and they were many, and they were horrible, and they were a way of life. So it made it kind of challenging for Emperor Augustus to teach and encourage peace as this acceptable way, because no one had any recollection or experience of peace in their lifetime. The challenge that he faced was to convince the whole Roman world that the prosperity that they could achieve by the absence of warfare was better for the empire in the long run than the wealth and the honor that was associated with fighting these risky wars. And yet, the peace of Rome came with this price for those who were not part of the central leading authority. Roman taxes is what this meant. Roman propaganda, Roman religion, Roman culture were spreading and infiltrating everything, at the expense and sometimes even at the loss of the local expression of authority and culture. And that created a lot of unrest in people because it was supposed to be a peaceful time and there was this tension that they were feeling within them and in their local context. So this is the context with which the baptism of Jesus is taking place. Not in Jerusalem, not in Nazareth, not in Bethlehem, but out there in the wilderness, in the context of creation, at the River Jordan. The zealots of that day were looking for a warrior king that would come and kick Rome out and help them recover their autonomous way of worship and life. They were actually the ones pondering the start of this war. And it makes me think of how every time in history, there is that constant tension and struggle for where our peace is sourced. I look at the news and I see Australia, and I see Puerto Rico, and I see significant unrest in Iran and the Middle East, and I see impeachment proceedings circling into and out of the news. It's peaceful here for the most part, in Wausau. That tension between experiencing peace, even if something within our own hearts is at war, is a question that I'd like for us to ponder today as we consider the baptism of Jesus, where at the Jordan River, the place where the people of God so long ago walked into the promised land, Jesus begins his ministry by humbling himself in the water by joining with us to share a common entry point to the start of faith in baptism. The light of that Bethlehem star had faded, Joseph's dream, Mary's obedience, that was decades ago. In the Gospel of Luke, we learn that Jesus was about 30 when he started his ministry. So if you're 29 or 30 right now, if you can imagine starting this massive ministry, that's where Jesus was. So like in the world today, the people who are coming to be baptized by John were, in the words of biblical scholar Joy Moore, no less divided, no less distracted, no less distraught than you or than me. John's main message that he was preaching at the top of chapter 3 in Matthew is repentance, because God's kingdom was near. Not Caesar's kingdom, not Herod's kingdom, it was God's kingdom that was near. So to be baptized and to repent was to reject the politics of the day as the source of peace, to reject social commitments as a place where real life would be found, to reset people in the water of renewal and the forgiveness and grace of God. And here is John, feeling unworthy to baptize his Savior. But he is convinced by Jesus that he is, in fact, worthy, that he has a role to play, and John consents to baptize his Lord, who is declared the beloved Son of God by a voice from the heavens. That baptism of repentance, in Jesus' own words, is a precedent to the baptism of the death he would experience on the cross. So today we celebrate the baptism of our Lord, and in the context of the season of Epiphany, we pause together to recognize that that might be the place where God offers us the most profound peace, as impossible as it seems, and as ordinary as it seems, that God's peace and God's presence is mediated to us in the gift of baptism. And we are so fortunate to have a baptism today, to be able to hear those words again anew. So if you are not yet baptized, I'd like to ask you for just a moment to consider the possibility and to consider this an invitation to be open to being washed in that same water and having the same starting point as Christ. And if you are baptized, I'd like to remind you of the profound gift that it can be for you every single day. Because in this difficult and broken and wonderful world, it is a powerful thing to have a day in your history and in human history when it was spoken with certainty and recorded on paper who you are, that you are washed into God's family, given a name, and that your name and God's name are spoken together, and you are sealed with a promise that would never, ever go away. No matter what would happen any other day in your life, you have God's presence and peace inside of you with every single breath that you breathe. So baptism, what in the world is it? At least in our understanding. We have so many here, and we can see it as something that makes worship 5 minutes longer, which it is. We can see it as a rite of passage for a child that is born, which it is. It can certainly function like a naming ceremony or an important tradition. Others see baptism as preparation for death and assurance of heaven. Pastor Craig used to start baptism orientation by saying, it's not fire insurance. But Dan Erlander, in the book Baptized We Live, reminds us of a Lutheran understanding of baptism in this beautiful and simple way. And he says this: through water, God touches a weak and vulnerable crown of his creation and says, yes, yes, you are incorporated into the body of Christ. Yes, you are adopted into the covenant people. Yes, you are called and chosen. You are saved. And if anyone ever asks, have you been born again? You can say, yes, you are forgiven. Yes, you are free to live without excuses. You are set aside to be a minister of God. You are marked with the cross of Christ forever. You are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. United with Christ, you have that same starting place he did. And we are brought together all the way to and through the end of death and into life with him. And Erlander continues, because of your baptism, never does your status before God depend on how you feel. Never does your status before God depend on having the right religious experience or being free of doubt or depend on what you accomplish or don't or on your success or your position. Baptism is the beginning of a way of life to be lived in a world of death and brokenness. Baptism is a promise that we cannot and will not ever be separated from God's love. The kids had it right. Baptism is about our connection with the communion of saints, that we will never be separated from the ones that we've loved who have gone before. It's an unbreakable gift that never fails, never erodes, never is nullified. It's a once-for-all kind of thing, and it sticks. So if you're fortunate to have a parent or a godparent living, I would invite you to ask them about what they remember of your baptism. Who was there? What was said? What was the weather like? Were you crying? What did you wear? Get a picture, and if you have a picture, frame it. If you have a certificate, look for it. Find the date. Put it in your calendar as a reoccurring annual event to celebrate the day in your history when you were told who God was. When you wash your face in the morning, mark your head with a cross and remember that there's not a day that goes by where you can ever mess up enough to erase God's vision of who you are. And God sees you today as God saw you in baptism. Beloved, made right, renewed, forgiven no matter what life would bring. Whether the world around us is at peace or in turmoil matters not. Whether the heart within you is at peace or in turmoil can be ministered to the power that is your own baptism in this world of uncertainty and change. And Jesus is baptized himself. And by being baptized, he fulfills all righteousness, which is a fancy, churchy way of saying he makes it right. He makes us right and allows the circle to be complete. It's the first thing he does long before any healings are mentioned, long before the miracle of feeding hungry people, long before he would teach and preach a different kind of way for the lowly and the poor. He is humbled and he sinks below water to share a same beginning. It's that simple and that mysterious. And then his ministry begins. And the same is true for you. What power God has placed within you through the Holy Spirit, it's that yes from God that is yours again today and worth sharing. And one final thing, if you want to be baptized and aren't, let's talk about it and let's do it. And we'll all be here with you. Thanks be to God. Amen.